This audio sermon is provided by AnabaptistSermons.com and may be freely copied and distributed. You may not sell or edit this sermon. Our prayer is that you would be blessed by this ministry.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have decided to follow Jesus. Boy, does that go along with the devotions or what? Have you decided to follow Jesus? By the way, welcome to the visitors again. Good to have you here. Have you decided to follow Jesus? It's a decision. It's not a one-time decision, I had to think. It's an everyday decision. My prayer is this morning that I realize when God is talking to me. You know, sometimes we, maybe one of the men or my child, you know, I had one of my children come up to me not long ago and say, Dad, you were kind of grouchy there. You were kind of talking. Boy, it's hard for him to get it out. That's God talking to me, saying, yo, look how you're treating your family. It's not necessarily coming from a child. It came from a child out of the mouth. But is God talking to you this morning, and what's he saying to you? Do you realize it's coming from God? Or do you see it as just coming from a man? Well, we don't need to listen to him. So my prayer is that we listen to the Holy Spirit, and I pray that he will continue to be here and pray for me as my sinuses or whatever is in me that wants to come out. So pray for me as I try to talk. I want to talk about standing firm, steadfastness. Talk about standing alone. You know, have you ever found yourself having to stand alone? You know, stand up for what is right. No matter what's going on, man, I could go through examples of times when there was something going on. You know, it came down to a decision. What am I going to do? Am I going to jump in and join the crowd and laugh with everybody as they're laughing about stuff or listen to the preacher? No. When there's a decision to make, just like Dustin was saying, there's a decision to make. My friends are doing one thing. I know that it's not right. Or maybe there's a certain somebody within the church. I don't want to say that, you know, just in the community, or somebody has this way of thinking that isn't quite right. Well, everybody else is doing it. I can do it. But you know from God, he's talking to you. You shouldn't do that. Are you going to stand up? My mind right away went, I know we're not youth anymore and we don't have a big youth group, but my mind went back to me as a youth. Did I stand up for what is right, and was I standing firm? I want to look at several examples, and there's a lot of scripture again. I want to turn to 1 Kings chapter 13 first. It doesn't say his name. It just says a man of God. This is an interesting story, one that would be good for a discussion after church sometime. It's a warning from a man of God, chapter 13, 1 Kings. And behold, verse 1, and behold, a man of God went from Judea to Bethel by the word of the Lord, and Jeroboam stood at the altar to burn incense. Then he cried out against the altar by the word of the Lord and said, O altar, altar. Thus says the Lord, behold, a child, Josiah by name, shall be born to the house of David, and on you he shall sacrifice the priests of the high places who burn incense on you, and men's bones shall be burned on you. And then it goes on and tells a little story, then skip to verse 8. Verse 7 first. And then the king said to the man of God, come home with me and refresh yourself, and I will give you a reward. But the man of God said to the king, if you were to give me half your house, I would not go in with you, nor would I eat bread, nor drink water in this place. For so it was commanded me by the word of the Lord, saying, you shall not eat bread, nor drink water, nor return by the same way you came. So he went another way and did not return by the way he came to Bethel. The rest of the story, we're not going to read it, but is what I would. He ended up going, an old prophet sent. Oh, it's a long story. We're not going to go there. Read it sometime. It's interesting. And sad to say, this is one of those stories that I said, Burma, did you know this story? She said, yeah, sorry. And I was telling the story, and Cameron knew it better than I did. So anyways, I'm still learning. But anyways, read the story and see what you think. It'd be good to discuss it. But the thing I wanted to bring out is this man of God said, no, I won't take your reward. God said to do this. This is what I'm going to do. Okay, let's go to 2 Kings chapter 18. Talking about Hezekiah. chapter 18. Verse 3, and he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father David had done. He removed the high places and broke the sacred pillars, cut down the wooden image, and broke in pieces the bronze serpent that Moses had made. For until those days the children of Israel burned incense to it and called it Neshtan. He trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor who were before him. For he held fast to the Lord. He did not depart from following him, but kept his commandments which the Lord had commanded Moses. The Lord was with him. He prospered wherever he went, and he rebelled against the king of Assyria and did not serve him. And it goes on and on. Josiah, king of Judah, held fast to the Lord, did not depart. God made him prosper. Let's go to Daniel. Daniel chapter 3. Verse 18. There's a lot that we could recall in Daniel's story. If we go back to Daniel chapter 1, verse 8, said, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Where are we at this morning? Have we purposed in our heart that we will not defile ourselves? Do we believe that our bodies are the temples of the Holy Ghost? The Holy Spirit lives in us. We call ourselves Christians. We have made that decision. We will follow Christ. Do we believe that God dwells in us? Have we purposed in our heart that no matter what, we will stand alone and be counted for Christ? Okay, let's go to chapter 3. Daniel's friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, verse 15, about halfway through. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. We know the story. King said, bow down. Right, Brady? King said, bow down. And these three, they got a warning. Right here's decision time. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hand? Almost like he's making fun. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. And we know the rest of the story. What an example for us. I don't know how old these youth were. I also had to think of us as parents. You know, are we training, are we raising up youth that will stand up for what is right no matter what? Stand alone. We're not really standing alone because God is standing with us. But are we raising up children? Or maybe the youth here today? Are you willing to stand up for what is right, even if it costs you your life? You know, I better stick with my notes for a little while yet. Let's go to chapter 6. We know about how Daniel, there was a decree made. King Darius made this decree, and it was in innocence. But Daniel knew in verse 10 of chapter 6, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home, and in his upper room with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. Even though he knew what the decree was or what the law was, he still obeyed. He still prayed, no matter what. And they threw him into the lion's den, and he was delivered. Let's go to Acts 4. We'll go to two more places. Acts chapter 4, example of Peter and John here, verses 19. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way of punishing them because of the people, since they had glorified God for what had been done. For the man was over 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing had been performed. And being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. So when they heard it, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and the sea, and all that is in them. You, by the mouth of your servant David, has said, why did the nations rage, and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly, against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before it was done. Now, Lord, look on their threats, and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. These apostles, they were still standing up for what is right. They prayed for boldness. Instead of saying, oh, there are threats, we better back down a little bit. No, they prayed for boldness. And they continued on steadfastly. Turn to Acts 20. Um, chapter 20, verse 18, Peter Paul, Paul called for the elders of the church, verse 18, and when they had come to him, he said to them, "You know, from the first day that I came to Asia, in what manner I always lived among you, serving the Lord with all humility, with many tears and trials which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews, how I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying to Jews and also to Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And see now, I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there." He didn't know what was going to happen to him in Jerusalem. He didn't know, verse 23, "except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me." So he knows he's going there and he doesn't know what's going to happen, but chains and tribulations are going to be there. There's going to be trouble. But and then verse 24, he says, "But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God." Where am I at in this world? Where are we at? You know, we really don't know what persecutions and troubles and chains and tribulations and... We don't know... We've never experienced what these men experienced. I have to think of in Hebrews where... we won't take the time to go there, but... All these men of faith... Chapter 11, the end of chapter 11, how they were, and we think of the martyr's mirror and how these people died for their faith. Are we willing to stand up for what is right and to die for Christ? I think one thing that helps, that would help us to be steadfast, you know, if we don't stand alone, be counted for Christ now here on earth. When we stand before Christ on Judgment Day, we're going to be standing all alone and we won't be counted. If we're not counted for Christ here, we're not going to be counted for Christ. And, you know, I had to think of, if we knew that we had cancer, let's say, or some sickness, you only had 2 weeks to live. And for those 2 weeks, you know that in 2 weeks, you are going to meet your Maker face to face. I mean, it could be tomorrow. But let's just say 2 weeks. You had 2 weeks to live. What would you do different for those 2 weeks? What would you do different? Or are you living your life for God just like you are? You wouldn't have to change a thing. Now, I'm not talking about I'd stay home from work. You know, hello, why go to work? I'm talking about habits that you have. I'm talking about things that you like to do. What's important to you? What do you like to read? What would we change? What would I change? Would I do anything different? Would I read my Bible more? Would I pray more? And as we think about that, think about Judgment Day, think about eternity, spending the rest of our life somewhere, because we will, you know. It will help us to stand firm. You know, if you think about those kings who, in the Old Testament, how they stood firm and God made them prosper. But then look at the New Testament, what happens? We're to be crucified with Christ. You know, look at all the people that died. They weren't delivered. Daniel and Joseph and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Not Joseph, I don't know why I said him. But those people, they were delivered. right? Out of the fiery furnace, and those strong, mighty men of valor, they were killed when they threw them into that furnace, and they didn't even, I was going to read the verses, they didn't even smell like smoke. They were delivered. Look at Daniel in the lion's den. And when Daniel came out, and Darius said, look, you threw all them people who wanted to kill Daniel, threw them in. They didn't even touch the bottom. They didn't even reach the bottom. The lions broke up their bones before they even reached the bottom. But Daniel and they were delivered. How's come these men of Hebrews chapter 11, how's come some of them and the martyrs mirror, how's come they weren't delivered? I'm not sure. But God wants us to stand alone, stand firm, and to be counted. And as we see eternity, what's the main thing? The main thing is that, okay, so Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they were delivered, who did they give honor and glory to? To God. And who gets the honor and who gets the glory if we're killed for our faith? Not us. God does. It's all about honoring God, no matter what we do. You know, if we would see God for how big He is, if we would see into eternity, we're going to live forever. And it's all about God and His Word. And God said, love me with your whole heart, with your whole soul, your mind, your strength, everything that is within you, love Him. Obey Him. Obey me. If we look at all of that, you know, the cares of this world are going to just fade away. I even had to think well, that's another subject. We won't go there, I guess. In order to do this, in order to stand alone, be steadfast, we need deep heart convictions. Where do they come from? From the preacher? No, Dustin. Don't come from the preacher. It doesn't come from listening to tapes. It doesn't come from your mom or your dad. Boys, it comes from the Word of God. It comes from our quiet time. You know, there is nothing, I mean, it can come from preaching. You don't get me wrong. It can come from teaching. But there's nothing like reading God's Word and all of a sudden your eyes are opened. Whoa, check this out. This is what God's saying. Oh man, I'm not doing that. And I believe this. You take it for your own. God shows it to you. And it becomes a deep heart conviction. This is what I believe in. It comes from God. Now, how can God speak to us if we're not speaking to Him? If we're not taking time, setting time aside, if that's not the most important time of our day, how's God going to talk to us? While we're working? Minds are running? While we're planting garden? I guess He can sometimes. You know what I'm saying? It comes from a relationship with God. Knowing Him, the knowledge of Him, knowing that God is real. Is God real? Do you remember a time in your life when He was so real? Is it still the way? Is it still that way? You know, maybe it was when we first became a Christian. Man, we were on fire for about a week, 2 weeks, a month. I don't know. Or maybe it really wasn't then. Maybe it was a couple years later when, boy, there was nothing going to stop you. You were on fire. God has got to be the most important person that fills our hearts. And I don't know. I'm thinking that if He's not, are we totally laid out for Christ? Is all on the altar? Are we totally crucified, Enos? What do we need to give up? What would we do different if we knew we were going to die in 2 weeks? If we were going to stand face to face with God, Creator of heaven and earth, what would we do different? The other day, or actually it was yesterday, we were out trying to blaze a new trail in our woods. And I had this shovel And we got all these thorns just growing up all over the place, you know. And so I'd whack them off, you know, and with the shovel, just kind of cut them off so we could walk through there a little easier without it scratching through our jeans. They got big old thorns. And sometimes when I would cut them off, the dirt would kind of cover up where it just got done, where I just got done cutting, that you couldn't even see that anything was there. You know, you take the shovel and kind of push the thorns off the side, and it was a nice, clear path. But everybody here can tell me what's going to happen, I don't know, in 2-3 weeks. It's going to be a little thorn grow up there again. And as I was cutting them things out, you know, sometimes I would dig out the root. I thought, we have got, that's what we have to do in our lives. What do we have to root out? What have we kind of covered up, cut off, stopped doing, but yet it's still in our hearts, or it's still in us? You know, and I'm not talking about, I know that we need to, boy, getting myself in a hole here. We need to root out. We need to throw it away. Not just cover things up. Make it look good on the outside. Here we are. I'm living the Christian life. Everything is fine. But yet we still, you know, that little thorn's going to keep growing back every once in a while. It can be anything from what we would call really, really bad to, but, you know, talk about maybe evil lusts or drunkenness and smoking and all of them things that defile our bodies. Anything defile our bodies, whether it's with the eyes or the mouth or anything. And, or it could be all the way to the sin of unbelief. I was convicted here a while back. You know, why don't I pray more? Maybe it's because I don't think that God can really do it. Well, what is that? That's unbelief. That's where our faith is at. In knowing that God, believing that God, having faith in God. What are we trying to grow? We're going to leave the roots there, you know, in our gardens. We would never let these thorns grow up. We'd root them out and throw them out. We want to grow good stuff. We're growing a garden for the first time in a long time. It's exciting. And asking a bunch of people how to do this, you know. We want to grow good things. We want to have the fruits of the Spirit. And that's why it takes a church asking people, hey, how do you do that? Boy, I see you have patience. How do you do it? What do you do? You know, how do you grow tomatoes? And how deep do you plant potatoes? And, you know, and every one of you is going to say, get rid of the weeds. Pull the whole root out. You tell your kids, hey, make sure you get the whole root. That's the way it needs to be in our life. Living for Christ. Being steadfast. We also need to love God's Word. Psalm 119. I thought maybe I could quote it, but I can't. Psalm 103 and 104. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Do we love God's Word? The next thing I was thinking about is what it will cost us to be steadfast, standing alone. We talked a little bit about that, our lives. It will even cost us some people making fun of us. Hello, I'm a Christian too. You know, you don't have to do that. You're going to be standing alone. And this may be for the youth. It can be for us at work. You know, people are going to make us feel ridiculous. Radical. Good. Now you're too radical. You don't have to do that. This is a different day and age. You know, we don't have to wear the covering anymore. For instance, we could probably make a list of those kind of things. People are going to make fun of us. But standing alone is going to cost us some making, getting made fun of. We need to humble ourselves. And it needs to be done out of humility. Not this proud, arrogant thing where, you know, I'm a radical. You know, not like that. We will face rejection. We will not be included sometimes. I know that the apostles probably felt that way. But the rewards, think of the rewards. It seems like in the Old Testament, the rewards were here on earth. I know that they would have reward. They prospered. They got their kingdoms prospered and on and on. We could look at all those examples. But are the real rewards that matter will be in eternity. We have to believe that. Because it's true. Those are God's promises. So whatever happens to us here, you know, no matter what happens to us here on earth, we need to be steadfast, unmovable. 1 Corinthians 15. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain. A couple more things I wanted to bring out before we go there. I want to look at Ezekiel 18. But if a wicked man turns from all his sins which he has committed, keeps all my statutes, and does what is lawful and right, he shall surely live. He shall not die. None of the transgressions which he has committed shall be remembered against him. Because of the righteousness which he has done, he shall live. Okay, we know that. If you turn from your wicked way, and you are righteous and do everything that God commands you, you will live. Right? Right. Do I have any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, says the Lord God, and not that he should return from his ways and live? Verse 24, but when a righteous man turns away from his righteousness and commits iniquity and does according to all the abominations that the wicked man does, shall he live? All the righteousness which he has done shall not be remembered, because of the unfaithfulness of which he is guilty and the sin which he has committed, because of them he shall die. Now, so why do we want to be steadfast? There you go. That's why we want to be steadfast. Unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. That goes very well with 2 Peter. Sorry, Jim. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20. We'll go to verse 18 first. For when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lust of the flesh. Now we're talking about false teachers here. Okay? There are these false teachers that are speaking great swelling words of emptiness. They allure through the lust of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones that have actually escaped from those who live in error. While they promise them liberty or freedom, they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage. For if, after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Savior, Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Okay? So here we are, having escaped the pollutions of the world. We don't need to go into that. We know what that is. Through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome. The latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness then having known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it has happened to them, according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his vomit, and a sow having washed to her wallowing in the mire. Let's be strong. Let's be unmovable. Let's be steadfast. In closing, I want to look at Hebrews 3. Actually, while we're in Ezekiel anymore. Let's go to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ. Does it stop there? No, it don't stop there. It says, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end, then we will be partakers of Christ. Ezekiel 1, verse 12 says, and they went every way straight forward, whither the Spirit was to go, they went. And they turned not when they went. Are you being led by the Holy Spirit? You'll go, you'll do whatever He says. You'll give up whatever He says give up. You'll stand up firm, be steadfast, whatever He says. You won't turn to the left, you won't turn to the right. You'll be firm. An old oak tree. And then I want to turn to Hebrews 12, verse 1. Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let us run with endurance, brethren and sistren. Be steadfast. You know, encouragement. I think we have great communication here. And I think we have great love here. So that if we see something going on, we can say, hey, brother, you know, you need to put down that anchor a little deeper. But what is it for us that we need to cast off and root out to be steadfast? What's it going to take? What for choices are you having to make these days? Let's be rooted and grounded in God's Word. Reading His Word every day. Begging Him, Lord, search me. Know my heart. Know my ways, my thoughts. He does anyways, but ask Him to show you. See if there be any wicked way in me, Lord. I'm wide open. It needs to be a continual seeking of God. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Dear Lord, we thank You so much for today, and we thank You for this time that we have together. We especially thank You, Lord, for Your Word, Your Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that You would help us to be steadfast. Remind us, Lord. Help us to keep our focus and our vision focused on You, Lord. Help us to be an encouragement to others. Help us to be a light and a testimony to those around us. Lord, help us to be steadfast. In Jesus' name, amen.